Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Before becoming a pastor, Rojo Herrera served as a military pilot, founded a successful small business, and later ran for the Hawaii State Senate. He's the host of Making Life Easier for Hawaii's Families, making parents aware of legislation and social changes that affect children. Oh, children, the jewel of society, our little ones. Well, we pause for a moment at the beginning of this program to remind you that the reason we have the Good Life radio program, well, is to lead you to faith in Jesus Christ, to talk to us about coming to Him with the faith of a child. That's simple faith. Simple. There's a certain level of innocence and authenticity, of course, that is there. And we're here to share the message of the love of God, that God loves you so much. He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins, to shed His blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, He rose again from the grave. My friend, today, would you open your heart to Jesus with that simple, childlike faith, even that Jesus, the kind of faith that Jesus talked about? That's our hope. That's our prayer, that you would hear Jesus calling you even today. Pastor Rojo Herrera is the director for a nonprofit called Peace, an international organization working to support Christian families. He's married to Debbie. They have 11 children. Rojo, welcome to our show.
Aloha, Danny. Thank you for having me.
I actually should say welcome back to our show because you've been with us before.
Yes, I was. It was back almost 5 years ago. We had a chance to sit down here in the studio, and it was a great interview. And I love getting a chance to talk to you. I don't know if you recall, but you actually came up and did an evening presentation to a bunch of young Christian leaders in my home, probably two and a half years ago. And you knocked it out of the park then.
I remember that time well, and I particularly remember the warmth and how big your home was. But the warmth, that you can have a big home and it could be it could have a different feel to it, but I could tell there was a lot of love there in the Herrera home.
Thank you very much.
What is Peace Hawaii?
Peace, as you said, is an international nonprofit organization. The acronym Peace is Public Education Advocates for Christian Equity. Now, that sounds like a mouthful, but in fact, if you break it down, Danny, it's pretty clean. We are people who educate parents of public school children on what's going on in the classroom, what sort of Department of Education changes to curriculum are occurring, but we also educate them on their rights. Most parents of public school kids don't realize that they have rights embedded in BOE and DOE policies and regulations. Once they're aware of what's going on in the class, and once they're aware of their rights, then we urge them, as parents, to engage with their schools in a positive way. And my job as the administrative director for Peace is to help advocate with the parents on behalf of their children. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Christian equity. We're not looking for Christian preference, Danny. We're just looking for equity. We want our children of faith, our families of faith, to feel like their children can get a public school education and not feel like they have to leave their faith at the door of the school.
How did you get involved with peace?
You know, it was about 3.5 years ago, a man named Phil Lees came from Toronto, Canada, and he brought with him a message. He was invited here by one of the pastors that he had met at a conference here, and he brought with him the message of what has been happening in Toronto in their educational system for the past, at that time, 15 years. It's getting close to 20 years now that the Toronto School Board, the Greater Toronto Region School Board, has taken a very liberal stance toward children's education. And in the area of sexual education or health education, whatever they call it, they've started to teach children some curriculum that Christian families find offensive. Offensive is not too strong a word. And so peace was formed in Toronto, Canada, about 20 years ago when Phil himself had a child come home from school with a terrible story of what she was being exposed to in school. So Phil has made it his mission to get the word out to unsuspecting Christian parents that their children are facing some real pressure in school. And so I heard his presentation about 3.5 years ago, and Danny, I have to tell you, I left the presentation and I said, this cannot be true. There's mm-hmm. no way this can be true. It's so disturbing. Disturbing is the word I use. And so I heard it a second time. And after the second time listening to his presentation, I said, you know, I need to meet this man. I need to talk to this man. I need to hear his heart. And so I did. And so for the past 2 years, I've been on the board of Peace. We're all volunteers, and we do our best, as I said, to assist parents with their children and their public education.
What disturbed you so much?
You know, the disturbing thing for me was the content of the curriculum. Danny, there is a global curriculum that has been written by International Planned Parenthood, okay? And it has an approach to teaching not what we traditionally had when you and I went to school. When we went to school, we had health class. And in the health class, when we were going to talk about sexual education, there would be a note sent home to your parents, and the parents would sign it, and you would be taught about your body and sex as a part of human reproduction. What's happened now with this new curriculum, reproduction is not the center of the discussion. What's the center of the discussion in this new method of sexual education curriculum is to talk about non-reproductive sexual activities and the right that our children have to act out on what they've been taught. And it is amazing. I brought some books with me here, and I shared them with Suzanne, and these are books that are in our school elementary school libraries, to be honest, here in Hawaii and across the U.S.
From kindergarten up.
That is correct, yeah.
Well, and describe some of it to us.
Well, I'll keep it G-rated, mm-hmm. but they do create a lot of gender confusion with their books to start with. And they make it, quote, normal for same-sex families. They go beyond that, and one of them, a small series, I know Suzanne is embarrassed, and I'm embarrassed to say it in front of her, but there's a His and Hers small booklet that talks about masturbation mm-hmm. for boys and for girls in elementary school. And these are in our school public libraries.
Mm-hmm. So how can peace help someone today?
Okay. Well, the track that we've taken, Danny, is this. Once we discovered how this curriculum was developed and what it was targeting, et cetera, what we then did was find alternative curriculum that is biblically based, and we developed off of a series of books by a Christian psychologist on God's design for sex. We use those books as our guide. we developed an alternative curriculum that met the national sex education standards, and we developed a 6th, 7th, and 8th grade curriculum that parents today, if they contact Peace, we can get them copies of this. And in fact, again, we will assist them, we'll help advocate with them at their school for their children. So it really is kind of a grassroots process right now. We get the word out, parents tell parents who are in a similar situation, and they actually connect with us. And then my job as the administrative director is to provide them with the materials and resources and help, personal help, if I can do that for them.
Yeah, I want to make sure that people, that our listeners are able to access the resources that Peace provides. So as we explain, there's some aspects of what I'll ask. And it, for example, the book, it's not in front of me, it's there before you in our studio in Honolulu. But so you talk about, it talks about masturbation at the elementary school level. Correct. Someone may say, well, that happens. Someone may say, well, that isn't that normal? Should we not have that? Kids do it. People do it. So what is that? I mean, I know this is an example of the kind of literature, but is...
Yeah, Danny, you know, no, that's a fair question. That's a very fair question. And let me be balanced in my response to you. And here's what I would say. These books that I'm talking about are part of a program to actually introduce to children a broad range of what will lead to risky sexual behavior. Mm-hmm. So it's not a book that is in isolation addressing a unique something. It's part of a much larger agenda. And the agenda is to sexualize children, to get them more aware of things. And in that, then you create a child who's searching on the web for information. We're seeing kids act out on what they're reading. And so, you know, while there may be a 10 or 15 or 20% group of children who would be interested in looking at that, now you have another 80% of the children being exposed to it. And so it's becoming a normalized conversation rather than a real serious discussion. And, I would tell you, you know, Danny, educators from across the world will tell you the best person, psychologists of all liberal and very conservative, will tell you the best person to teach children about sexual and reproduction is the parent. Mm-hmm. The parent has not just a God-given responsibility, but it just psychologically makes sense. Children trust their parents. And so when the parent talks to them about this subject, it's already got a foundation of trust built. And so the words that parents share have that much more gravity and that much more strength behind them. When a child reads a book in a library that a fellow 8-year-old gave to them, their minds are being exposed to things, but there is no psychological link to anyone who would, quote, be trusted to tell them the truth. And so you've created in this child mental images, pictographic images, diagrams, words, and they're not balanced by a parent's love or guidance or a mature discussion about what the child is actually feeling.
Well, I'll tell you, we've got our work cut out for us.
Yes, we do. Amen.
And Suzanne, because a lot of, and we'll come back from our break, we'll discuss this even further. But I say that because so much of what is being shared is on the presupposition of a healthy family,
yes.
Right? That there is a healthy family, that can talk about sex in a way that can provide that psychological link for the pictures that are being shown. And of course, I know there's a balance between the protection, and yet at the same time, the society in which we live is coming at us with such challenge, and some may even feel overwhelmed. But Peace Hawaii is doing something about that. When we come back from our break, we'll talk more. Peace Hawaii and other peace global organizations empower traditional-minded parents to, number one, build positive relationships with their schools. Number two, help educators understand the needs of their faith community. And three, work with the schools to develop realistic and relevant learning accommodations. Well, I hope that doesn't sound like just a bunch of words. There's Rojo, Phil Lees, and others that are in the trenches helping to implement these things. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Paliomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Rojo Herrera is the executive director of Peace Hawaii. He served as a military pilot. He founded a successful small business and later ran for Hawaii State Senate. Today, he's a pastor and the executive director of Peace Hawaii. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer. Thank you for joining us today. You can find out more about Rojo and the initiative and the mission and vision of Peace Hawaii at peacehawaii.org. Rojo, how did God lead you into the pastorate?
You know, Danny, my personal testimony is probably not unlike many people. I was raised in a home where my mother had a strong faith foundation. My father came from a background where it was not so much, and he had he gave his heart to the Lord, and I recall as a six-year-old boy seeing my father cry for the first time, and it actually kind of frightened me because he was such a powerful man, and he was a very very much in control, and yet I saw him sobbing, what I call man tears, real sobbing. And my mother explained that he was giving his heart to Jesus, and from that point on, life changed in our family. And I grew up in a Christian home after that, very, very supportive of the church wherever we were. He was also a military man, but so wherever he went, we found a church, got plugged in. I will tell you that in college, I did stray, and I thought I was going to be the next Top Gun. So I thought Top Gun had to be, you know, of the world, and not just in it, but of the world. And that's where I took myself for about 10 years. And then I felt the Lord call me home. I tell people, I genuinely, it wasn't audible, but I had this sense that the Lord looked at me and said, "Son, are you done embarrassing yourself? I have such great plans for you. And yet you continue to just run harder and harder away and seek your own way." And in my early mid-30s, I had a real encounter, a real encounter with the Lord. And nothing's been the same since. As far as pastoring, I really, at that point in time, 20-something years ago, I did not anticipate being in the pastorate. But it just flowed very naturally. There was no coercion. It was just the Holy Spirit wooing me along and letting my heart just be softened to what He wanted to do with my life. And so in 2010, I said, "Yes, Lord, whatever you need me to do." And so since then, it's been whatever God needs. I'm going to do my best to fulfill it.
And how did you get into radio?
Oh my goodness! Last year, I saw Duke Iona at an event, and he says, "You should do radio." I said, "Me? Are you kidding?" And so one thing led to another. Some discussions with some other pastors, and they said, "You know, would you talk about what it is that we as pastors can do for families here in Hawaii?" And so out of that came the show, Making Life Easier for Hawaii's Families. And I thoroughly enjoy it. I get a chance to talk about raising kids, being parents, or taking care of our elderly parents, you know, just any kind of issues that are affecting our families. And peace actually fits very well within that framework, trying to make life easier for Hawaii's families by working with the Peace Organization.
What are the rights and options of parents? I want to go back to talking about some of the, and I suspect, Rojo, that you're, you know, obviously trying to be as clean as possible in terms of your descriptions. Yes. But when we talk about rights and options of parents, obviously that implies that something needs to be known for parents to be able to exercise certain rights because something else could be very problematic.
Right.
What is that?
Okay, well, with regard to your first question, the rights of parents, in almost every single school district across the U.S. and Canada, there is a section in the directions, the directives, the policies or regulations, whatever they call them, there's a section that provides some protections for parents of faith. Now, that clause or that regulation is there largely because of, to be really frank, because of Islam and Muslim families who are very adamant that they want some sort of recognition of the faith component in their children's lives. So those rights typically include an opt-out policy, which means a parent, if based on their faith, feels like a class conflicts with their faith, then the parents have the right to opt their child out of that class. And again, that's across the country, across North America, in almost every jurisdiction. Whether you are Islamic or not, that's not the point. The point is you are a family of faith and you are making a statement that the curriculum my child is going to be exposed to violates my faith. Therefore, I want to take advantage of this protection that's offered. So there are rights. Now, when you say options, again, I just talked about opting out.
Mm-hmm. What's that process?
That's a very simple process, actually. A parent just needs to go to the teacher or the principal or someone in administration and just share with them in a written letter what it is that they're specifically concerned about and requests their child be opted out. Now, in the area of sex education in particular, I want you to know peace is not against a child receiving sex education. It's so what we encourage parents to do is to present to that principal or that teacher an alternative curriculum that is based on biblical values for sex. And so when we provide that letter to the parents, we also provide them with the curriculum that is, as I said, based on Scripture. We call our curriculum Wonderfully Made, and it's 6th, 7th, and 8th grade material, and we have not had one teacher reject it. It meets the national standard, and so when a parent goes in to see a principal, they'll sit down and say, I'm here to talk about sex education, and almost immediately, the walls seem to go up with the administration side of it. But what we encourage parents to do is to just diffuse it by just assuring them that you're not there in anger. You're not there to make more work for them. In fact, you're there with an alternative curriculum that meets national standards and, in fact, has been reviewed by retired teachers here in Hawaii to ensure that it meets the learning objectives here in Hawaii.
Danny, I want to jump in, though, and say, as I've testified against what they were calling here Pono Choices, which is the program in the public schools, very few parents were aware of what was being taught unless their child came home and said, this is what's happening. The public school parents are not aware of it, and that's a real concern.
Okay, so what is happening, and what does the curriculum teach?
Well, as I said, comprehensive sexuality education is a global curriculum for sexual education. Now, here's what's interesting about it. It takes a position of what they call sexual risk reduction, whereas traditional sex education is what we call sexual risk avoidance. Now, the difference between sexual risk reduction and sexual risk avoidance is the reduction camp says there's no need to teach abstinence. Go ahead, expose the children to all manner of sexual activity, reproductive and non-reproductive sexual activity. While sexual risk avoidance says we believe abstinence is still a valuable curriculum. So what we try to bring to the table is an understanding by parents that there is two camps, two broad camps. One says expose your child to a large amount of information and then let them decide how that will translate into their adult behavior. While we on the abstinence side say parents, we want our children to abstain from sexual activity until they're old enough and mature enough to actually understand and value the gift of sex that God has given us. Danny, it's interesting. I just came back from a conference on the mainland, and we're sharing that the discussion we're having right now is not really a discussion about sex or reproduction anymore. There are four dozen studies by secular as well as religious researchers that say the longer a child can delay their what they call sexual debut, the longer they can wait, the more likely that they will never experience the negative social impacts, such as being on welfare, being unemployed, low earning potential, all the different things. So it's actually now become an economic argument, even among secular social scientists. If you allow a child to get a high school education and preferably a college education, if you allow that same child to remain abstinent through that period to get their education, to let their maturity kind of get to reach a place and then get them into a monogamous relationship, with, you know, the opposite sex, you have a 96% chance of avoiding what we consider to be negative social outcomes.
Okay, when we come back, Rojo, I'm hearing, you're speaking with a level of clarity, and yet there is a wrestling match going on here with ideologies.
Amen.
A wrestling match going on with values, deep-seated values. And my friend, as you're listening today, you know, this is one of those times and one of those topics where we can pretend that these things aren't happening, even though they are happening. And we can try to act like it's not going to have an impact, or it's not going to have a consequence. But the consequence will still come. The impact is still there. And, you know, people say ignorance is bliss for a moment. But when the results or the consequences come to fruition, that is, the things that were cultivated begin to bear fruit. Some of the fruit is not sweet. Some of the fruit is bitter. He said, Danny, you're speaking in vague terms, picturesque terms. Get to the point. Well, here it is. There are different agendas that are conflicting. And when we come back, Rojo will share what these agendas are. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waihua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waihua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, yeah, live life and just ignore the problems. Ignore the real issues that go on, and just live life. Many might feel that way. You may feel like that today. That might be a kind of philosophy of life that you've taken up? Because after all, life is stressful as it is, isn't it? Well, could things get worse? Could things be more serious in its effects if we're not aware? Do you realize that certain things in our lives have an insidious influence on us? Insidious, meaning it's both puzzling, and there's a level of deceit where we don't even know what we're taking in, and we're being informed by it subliminally, and we act upon it. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer, our guest today, Rojo Herrera. He's the executive director of Peace Hawaii. You might be asking, hey, where are we going with all this, Danny? Why are we talking about such a sensitive subject? Some of the terms you're using seem to be a bit cryptic. Well, I want to get to the maybe closer to the bottom of this, what's going on. Rojo Herrera, Peace Hawaii, peacehawaii.org. You can find out more about him and the agenda of Peace Hawaii. But Rojo, what's the agenda of International Planned Parenthood?
Well, Danny, very simply, their agenda is to sexualize children at an earlier and earlier age so that the natural progression for a child in elementary school to progress to junior high and high school and adulthood would be to be more and more active in sex. And whether or not they're mentally or emotionally prepared, that's not Planned Parenthood's concern. Because they are going to be there to provide their version of a solution for the child. You know, it's interesting. While we were off air, Suzanne and I had a chance to talk, and to your point about what are the motivations and what is the underlying current that we're finding here. You know, traditionally, historically. Psychologists tell us that developing teens, preteens and teens, somewhere in the neighborhood of 75 to 80% of them will have some level of discussion in their mind about, you know, their own sexuality. They'll have questions, you know, boy, girl, you know, what kind of girls do I like? What kind of boys do I like, etc. And some of them will have continuing questions about their own personal sexual preferences and ideas. But 98%, again, this is the historical numbers, 98% of those kids will naturally come to a place where they accept, I'm a male or I'm a female. I like girls if I'm a male, and I like boys if I'm a female. And they'll come to a natural place of acceptance of that. However, what we're finding is that Planned Parenthood wants to prolong and instigate more of that confusion so that then they are in control of what the children's outcome, they have more control of the child's outcome unto where they end up. You know, for example, I would just share with Suzanne that in Toronto, the legislature there just passed a bill called Bill 89. And it's basically says that teachers, public school teachers, will be more actively involved in a child's gender identity questions. And if a child expresses to a teacher in elementary school now, and expresses to a teacher that they're confused and they're not sure about whether I'm a boy or I'm a girl or somewhere in between, the teacher has an obligation to help that child get the counseling without parent approval. Parents do not have to be involved in that discussion. And in fact, if the parents, now this is where it gets very, very troublesome. If the parents disagree with their child's questioning or they don't support that child in that questioning period, the teacher may in fact call the state to take the child from the family and to put them into foster care.
Now, is this happening or is it?
It is a bill.
Is it on the agenda? Has the legislation been introduced?
It has been introduced. And in fact, I'd have to confirm that it's whether or not it has actually gone to final vote or not.
I want to go back to your statement when you said that the agenda of Planned Parenthood is, and this is not your exact words, I'm paraphrasing here, but it's to get kids involved in sex earlier.
Yes.
Right? So Why have kids do that?
You know,
what's the rationale behind it?
I saw an interview with a former Planned Parenthood Center manager or operator, and she said that they actually have, within Planned Parenthood, they have business goals. And one of their business goals is to have teenage girls have an average of 3 abortions by the time they're 18. Danny, this is big business. This is huge business. Last year, I believe Planned Parenthood had $773 million a profit last year.
I guess in a way, I wish I had a Planned Parenthood representative too, because I'd like to. It just seems so striking to me that would be. Of course, they might not say it, but that would be the agenda. And for someone representing Planned Parenthood to be able to answer, I mean, for me, I want to know where's the moral foundation for wanting that.
Well,
we're talking about economics. If that's the only reason, there just seems to me there's got to be a deeper reason than dollars and cents.
Yeah, you know, Danny, if I may, I think one of the things that we have discovered along this path that we've been on is that there is a group of people, very intelligent people, who believe that sex is a right. It's a human right. And it's very key when you use the word human right. If you see that in any kind of legislation, and we have it here in Hawaii in some of the bills with regard to sex education, it's a human right. And the reason why that's a key word is because no one, by UN mandate, no one's allowed to deny someone their human rights. So the next domino to fall is, parents, you don't have a right to deny a human right, even though it's a minor child that you're going to quote deny their right. It's just a philosophical difference. You know, we come from a faith-based perspective where a parent is the shepherd, is the teacher, is the primary educator of their own children, whereas the other side would come from the position that parents aren't talking to their kids, and look at the mess we have socially, so we're going to step in. And, you know, it's hard to argue with that logic, except what they bring with them is very damaging. It's very difficult for us to look at a generation of children, and they're absolutely confused about gender, and it's well known now that you can go online and see that there's, you know, what, 60 or 70 different gender identities. Mm-hmm. And you can just pick one. You're not a male, you're not a female, you can be that and more, and any sort of combination.
There's a, well, basically, well, there's a whole new dictionary or vocabulary that we need to learn with these names that are being presented, so complex.
Yes,
it
is.
When it comes to gender identity.
Just real quickly, mm-hmm. Monday you can be a boy, and Tuesday you can be a girl, and Wednesday and Thursday a boy, and Friday a girl. I mean, that's where we're at.
Right, right. And so when we come back from our break, we don't mean to say that. I know Suzanne doesn't. We're just talking about how perplexing it is, and how things can change on a whim, even when it comes to how one feels about their sexual orientation. And not only that, as Rojo was explaining, there is, when you start talking about human rights, I mean, there's legislation, there's laws, there's research. I mean, we've got all kinds of, I'm no lawyer, but there's all kinds of precedents that come along with it that could cause the passing of other bills and other laws that would be voted in by the House or the Senate. I'm not just talking about in Hawaii, but as Hawaii being part of perhaps a broader agenda. one of the other states that could make a strong case for the Supreme Court in days to come. When we come back, more from Rojo Herrera when we come back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chenan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Rojo Herrera is the host of a radio program called Making Life Easier for Hawaii's Families. Rojo is also the executive director of Peace Hawaii. The Peace Hawaii website, you can find it at peacehawaii.org. You can get this program in its entirety for free at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer. I'm grateful that you're with us today. Thank you for joining us. The Peace Hawaii website says that we live in a multi-value system world and need to accept those who live by different values, worldviews, and beliefs. Rojo, how does peace integrate its vision in this context?
Yeah, you know, Danny, one of the things that we want to ensure that any parent who listens to us today, we want to ensure that that parent doesn't get off of this radio and go to their school and start confronting and being angry with anyone at the school. Our method, is said in our name. We are people of peace, okay? We implore them, or we teach our parents to use what we call our Luke 10 approach. And if I may, just real briefly, in Luke 10, Jesus sent out his disciples, and he gave them four pieces of advice, four things to do. And the first one he said is, proclaim peace on the house that you stay in. The second thing he said was to have fellowship with them. Eat the food they give you, drink the drink they give you, and to fellowship with them. The third thing he said is find out what their needs are and pray for their needs. And then the last thing he said, share the truth, share the gospel with them. So for us at Peace, what we tell our parents to do is to hanai their school. Go to their school with aloha, not with confrontation. Engage them, as one of our pastors likes to say, in a winsome way, in a friendly, kind way. And then when we're fellowshipping with them, have a good relationship. Don't show up once and one and done. Go ahead and show up and be a part of the school environment if you can. If you find out they have a need for malasadas one day, bring a box of malasadas or a bag of construction paper. Get that construction paper for the teacher. In other words, keep a positive relationship with those at the school. Then, when it comes time for you as a parent to discuss, quote, the truth of your concerns, then you've got a relationship established with them in a positive, peaceful way. So we try to have our value to be brought to the table, again, all within the confines or in the context of being peaceful, engaging with our teachers and our administrators and our principals in a positive way.
And I think it works when you're relating with people in that way. I'm holding back a little bit, maybe a bit of stuttering as I'm thinking this through as I was listening to you. Because, Rojo, it is peace. But isn't there a component where what is going on in terms of values? Now, let's say the agenda of International Planned Parenthood. Their agenda isn't to go about things in a soft way. I would imagine there's a viciousness that they would go at this agenda. And so how spiritually do we relate that in terms of this context? And I know you're not saying, and I'm not encouraging to be violent or to be to create an uproar, but how do you spiritually explain? Is this a doves among wolves, kind of sheep among wolves?
Sheep among wolves, exactly. Yes, that's true. But you know, Danny, we're on the side of truth, okay? Mm-hmm. And the truth sets people free. And God is, he's bigger than Planned Parenthood, and he knows everything, every scheme, every direction that they want to go to. And I believe he's going to call organizations to be in place to stand against the schemes of the enemy. And that's kind of one of the things we are at Peace see ourselves as. We're a small organization here in Hawaii, and we believe that we've discovered something that's very important that is on God's heart, and that is caring for, preserving the innocence of our children, to educate them properly, etc. So when we attend conferences on the mainland, you would be surprised how many organizations, and we found dozens of organizations who are like-minded as we are, and they are now standing in their states against the local Planned Parenthood offices. And what they're telling us when they hear our approach, they look at us and say, you got it. That's it right there. You know, we have parents going in and confronting, and we're not getting any traction. We're not getting fair consideration at the table. But I will tell you, using our approach, Danny, we have not had a bad outcome. In every case, when we sit down and we're calm and we're peaceful, and we've already got, remember, relationships started and maintained with them. We've got that as our foundation. There's a trust foundation that's already been built between us and the teachers and the principals. So,
Suzanne, would you like to share something before we wrap?
I just want to be sure that we talked about every subject.
Every day, every grade. Yeah, that's a Planned Parenthood motto with regard to sex education. And Suzanne has been having a difficult time just believing that someone would say something like that. But again, it's every day, every subject, every grade. It's Planned Parenthood's objective to insert some sexual discussion that is in their favor in the classroom. So Danny, you can have a second grader, and it could be math class. And there is going to be some way that in that math class, the teacher is going to take just a sentence or a snippet or something and somehow insert the Planned Parenthood's idea of sex at an age, quote, age-appropriate level.
Instead of just having it in a health class, which is when I went to school, this was only discussed in health.
Well, someone may wonder, how in the world did Planned Parenthood gain so much influence, whereas we're being told today their agenda is literally infiltrating every school in America? Well, that may be something we need to discuss at another time. And Rojo, you being here with us, representing as the executive director of Peace Hawaii, has really got our ears perked up, and I think it needs to be. Mm-hmm. Our country is founded on the ability to express ourselves freely and to be able to push back when pushback is needed. And you're certainly doing that, you and Phil Lees and Peace Hawaii. You mentioned that it's a small group, but I believe the scriptures talk about despising not the day of small beginnings.
Amen. Thank
you. Because the influence can grow. So I encourage you and thank you for being with us. I know this is not an easy subject, but you do it with great fluidity and eloquence, my friend. And I'm grateful to have had you with us today. Thank you, Rojo, for joining us.
Thank you very much, Danny. And if I may, a quick shameless plug, info@peacehawaii.org. If you desire any more information on this subject, it's info@peacehawaii.org.
Encouraging words, but strong words, and necessarily so, from Rojo Herrera. info@peacehawaii.org. You know, dear one, God's timing is indeed perfect. And even now, there's no better time to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, yes, this is a perfect moment, I believe, to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I got a special presentation for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your financial support, thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Partners. Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin condemns any people. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Rojo Herrera, info@peacehawaii.org. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll leave.